Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two of three on a Friday, a football Friday, a snowy Friday in the district here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980 always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Commanders headed to Dallas to take on the Cowboys, and let's talk about it with our guy Ben Standig today for Not My Beat. Ben Standig is the Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic, and he joins us now. Ben, how are you, sir?
Craig, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It is, I don't know what it's doing over there, but it was legit snowing coming home from Ashburn, which is both pretty, and hopefully, if we get this kind of snow over the weekend, that'll be fine. The 7 inches, pass.
Yeah, no, I mean, for you guys, too, if you get, you know, they got the plane travel, like, you got to get out there, but you also got to get home, Ben. Like, there's a lot going on, but, you know, important football coverage to be had. You can't be getting stuck there at DFW. I mean, I know it's big enough to house, you know, a small village, but that doesn't mean that you should actually have to live at the airport in Dallas over the weekend.
Yeah, no, it's a hard pass, but, you know, fingers crossed this, you know, we got to do what we got to do as long as we get back at some point, but hopefully we'll get back Sunday night or Monday.
Indeed, indeed. By the way, just to clear something up before we get into all the questions with Ben, there have been some rumors, I think, some people were pushing on social media that the Commanders might stay in Dallas and then go straight to L.A. if that's the matchup. That's not happening. I've confirmed that because you have to plan those things in much advance, and obviously we don't even know if the Commanders are going to play the Rams. So if anybody's heard that, that's incorrect. The Commanders will be coming home after the game, assuming that the weather doesn't affect their flight on Sunday night, and then be spending the week in Ashburn before they head out to their eventual playoff matchup. Now, we know that game in Ashburn, Ben, or that game in Dallas, I should say, is not going to have Marshon Lattimore. And Joe Witt told us yesterday there'll be some kind of rotation. What more do we know about Marshon Lattimore's injury and where we stand heading into the playoffs with it, and what the plan is in any more detail that we have ascertained to actually replace him?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Quinn today, you know, he said, hey, he's trending in the right direction. He's, you know, sounded optimistic, but, you know, this is such a, you know, I don't want to go down, go to the past with things like the Curtis Samuel injury or other times just in any sport where you hear hope for a player returning and then they don't. We obviously have had Marshon Lattimore a very small amount of time here in terms of just like looking at him and them playing for them. He's only played just under two games, missed a bunch before the injury, now has missed a couple games after the injury. So it's certainly we don't have enough of our track record to say, don't worry, he'll be out there. But, you know, it's smart for them to – anybody who's borderline injured or actually, you know, really hurt should not be playing in this game. This is – sure, getting the sixth seed would be cool. But, you know, playing – getting everybody healthy in the playoffs is much more important. And, you know, Lattimore missed last week, so, you know, it's fair that he would be out this week. You know, again, they seem to be suggesting that he's doing the right things to give them confidence about the playoffs, but you know, until it's out there, until he's good to go, or at least at practicing next week, you know, I'm not going to sit here and promise anything because since he's been here, you know, he just really hasn't played.
For sure. Now, Ben, do we know if that's affected how they view him in the long term at all? Because I got yelled at a bunch when they traded for him, and I was like, look, this could be a rental. I realize you probably don't give up a third round pick with the potential or with the idea that it's going to be a rental. But if they want to, they have no money committed to Marshon Lattimore next year. There's zero guarantees in his contract. I think a lot of us think they'll probably wind up reworking that to give him some, and he'll probably be here. But when you miss all the time that he's missed, it would have to give you some level of pause. What do we know about what they think about Lattimore long-term because of how this injury has plagued this season?
Yeah, you know, when they made the trade, you know, at the trade deadline, I was certainly, you know, yelling from the rooftop, they're not going to trade for a rental, right? This is a team that's year one of this recalibration. Obviously, it's gone as well as you could possibly hope, but you know, I don't think they're pushing all their chips in for this year. However, Lattimore has got 2 years left after this deal, and it's at a premium position. that they would have had to have addressed anyway in the offseason. And, you know, now it's at least a set cost. You know, maybe they renegotiate the deal or restructure it for to make it more cap-friendly or whatever. But they have a guy there. So I would be pretty surprised if they're viewing him as, you know, anything different than what they had. The only question would be, you know, what's going on here with this injury? You know, is it, you know, is he putting in the work? I believe that he is. You know, is there something here they're concerned about that this is a long-term issue that he's never really going to get past it? You know, maybe there's something with that because obviously it has been, you know, for him pretty much most of the season at this point. So I think those are the things probably more on like the medical side, like I would guess. But, I don't have any real sense that they're viewing him as anything other than being part of what they're building for next year. Like I said, if he's, you know, today, if at this point, I understand. But, you know, if he's good to go for next year, whatever that means for him, rehab, rest, training, whatever, then, you know, they have, you know, a Pro Bowl player at a very important position that, as we know, without him, you know, is very suspect. And that would be a huge deal to have that. So obviously it would be huge to have him on playoff weekend when you're possibly going up against Mike Evans, Puka Nacua, or, you know, A.J. Brown. So that would be huge, but hopefully that's sitting him this week gets him closer for that to happen.
Ben Standing, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic, and to be clear, I agree. I think it's hard-pressed. Unless they got him in the building, saw something on the medical imaging, and were like, oh, no, this is never going to get better. But I also think, Ben, it's worth pointing out, this team can take on a player that's had an injury history now and probably feels a lot better about their ability to rehabilitate said player and get them back in a better place because they put so much into the sports performance side compared to this team in the past was a place that people really struggled with injuries and everything always took longer to heal than it was supposed to because they were so bad in that realm. I feel like that is, you know, that's something that I don't know how much we'll see play out, but in Lattimore's case, you know, we are going to see this offseason. Can they, you know, even if it takes to getting to the offseason, they can fix stuff better than they've been able to fix stuff in the past.
Are you're saying that the previous training staffs, there were some questions about what was going on there?
Not just yeah, Ben, I think the staff, the equipment, the facility, the general attitude towards a human body. Yeah, Ben, I do think I am saying that.
Yes. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, it is so funny how if this exact same thing had happened with Lattimore, but it happened at any of the other previous, you know, the Rivera era, Gruden, Shanahan, whatever, this would be viewed so much differently, right? Understandably, right? I mean, this is not obviously a great outcome so far. Hopefully, if he's able to go in the playoffs and performs as expected, then for this year at least, you know, it'll be worth its while. But yeah, I mean, any other year, you're like, really? Kind of like how we all felt that first year with Curtis Samuel when, you know, he really struggled to get out on the field and we never really were getting clear answers. But, yeah, they have shown not just with the wins and Jaden Daniels, but they've gotten a lot of built-up credibility here because of kind of how they've handled the whole thing. You mentioned, you know, upgrades in the training staff, just, you know, upgrades in the facilities overall. You know, I know people still ding Northwest Stadium, and you know, reasonably so, but they've definitely tried to make it better. Same thing with the facility in Ashburn. There's only so much they can do at this point, but they've done that. So I think, you know, again, I think they just across the board have a lot of credibility, whereas we're not screaming what the hell happened here. You traded these picks for a guy who's barely played. Again, hopefully he's ready for the playoffs.
Ben Standing, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic with us here on The Hoffman Show. What's it been like to be in the facility this week, Ben? Because it is kind of this weird week. It's so much of the league, there's absolutely nothing on the line. It's just a pooey slate of games. There's kind of like one good matchup in each window, which I guess for week 18 is kind of what you get, or a pair of meaningful matchups in each window. But at the Commanders this week, they know they have the sixth seed to play for. Dallas has nothing to play for. What's it been like in the facility this week, especially for a team that's really preached process, 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 do the same thing every week when this week is not like any of the other weeks they've had this season?
Yeah, well, you know, look, I mean, that's why Dan Quinn's come out right off, you know, as soon as he could and say, yeah, we're playing for the seed. We're not sitting, we're not resting, we're not thinking about the playoffs. We're staying focused, and I think that's important. Not only is it, you know, look, the sixth seed has some potential advantages, right, depending on how you view a matchup, a third matchup against Philadelphia. But even beyond that, you know, if Jaden Daniels is the number one reason from on the field why this team is in the position they're in. I think their competitive spirit is number two. They have been in every single game this year. Maybe they haven't always played their best, right? But in terms of, like, you know, the whole looking like they showed up mentally, the looking like they are fighting till the end, that's been case every game this year, I would say. But, you know, if you want to discount the Tampa game, which was Jaden's debut, okay, fine. But they were working things out there. And I think he wants to keep that, right? Because realistically, if they have lulls, they're going to be in big trouble. This is not the most talented team in the playoffs. You know, even if these games are on neutral fields, I'm not sure they're a favorite against anybody. So they have, maybe if Atlanta is the NFC South champ. But that's what's keeping them in a good place this year because of that drive, that focus, and he doesn't want to take his foot off the gas with that. So everybody seems to be of that mindset. I mean, look, I think they also understand they're not robots. You know, they understand, you know, it's Dallas, so it means something, and the seed means something. But, yeah, the playoffs, I'm sure they would be lying if they said they weren't thinking about it at all. Probably, I guess, on some good level, because they have no idea who they're playing, you can't just sit there and go, oh, we're going to play the Rams. I can't wait to do, you know, X, Y, or Z. They don't know. So to that end, there's no point in thinking too much ahead. Just stay focused on what you got to do and try to get the sixth seed.
And yet, Ben, you're a reporter, not a player, so I get to ask you this question because you can look ahead. Any sure. particular matchup you like or particularly dislike for Washington in round one of the playoffs?
Well, I think the most interesting thing, you know, like I said, Washington looks like they're going to play everybody who's healthy, right? The Rams are taking the complete opposite approach. They are sitting Stafford. They're sitting Nacua. They're sitting Cooper Kupp and a bunch of other guys. They clearly do not mind falling to the four seed, which is interesting because it's the four seed you're playing either the Vikings or the Lions, depending on how that matchup this weekend goes. And, to that end, I just think, like, that would be a good matchup, I think. The Rams' offense has scuffled the last 3 weeks. That would not be a home field advantage for the Rams. This could be, like, the reverse of what we've seen at FedEx Field for many years, where it's the visiting fans taking over a stadium. I think Washington could have a pretty good contingent there and have a loud presence. The Rams are very good, obviously. Sean McVay, when they're hot, they're a scary team, but right now they're kind of scuffling. So I think that'd be a good matchup for Washington. But it looks like if Washington wins this week and Tampa wins and the Rams lose, that they would be going to Tampa, which is, look, I mean, not to, I forget week one. I mean, Tampa had their way with them pretty much. But, you know, Mike Evans is a beast. Baker Mayfield's had a really, really good year. Their rookie running back, Bucky Irving, has been impressive the last few weeks. You know, they've got Vita Vea, Tristan Wirfs, all pro players on the line. So, and this is a team that's been in the playoffs, 3 years in a row? This would be their fourth division title in a row, I think. They have been there, done that team. So I think that one's a little bit tougher, but certainly winnable. I'll even say this. While the Eagles would be a pretty, prohibitive favorite, I'm sure, by the oddsmakers, playing a team for a third time, there's going to be no intimidation factor. Washington's going to know exactly what they're getting into. They've got tape for two games against this team. And, obviously we'll see where Jalen Hurts is. That's the biggest wild card at the moment. But, I would probably still say, Philly is the least interesting choice. But nonetheless, you have played them the most, and therefore that could help with the planning.
Right. Philly scares the daylights out of me if Jalen's healthy, because I feel like they're probably pretty livid over how the last game went, where he got knocked out. Things fell apart. They then have to hear about we lost, but it's like, yeah, we were killing you when our starting quarterback was there. So that's the one from both an attitudinal and, that's the best team, obviously being the two seed, that would scare me the most. Any other major storyline for this game, Ben, that you have circled, that you have your eye on anyway, or are we really just in kind of this weird, like, hey, fingers crossed, hope no one gets hurt, and then it's off to the playoffs. Is there anything else significant that you actually have circled that you're keeping an eye out for this week, performance-wise or results-wise?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, they haven't been able to stop the run pretty much all year, right? I mean, you point to a game or two, but even then, even the games where they didn't give up a lot of yards on the ground, there's a pretty obvious reason why they were able to have some more success. Dallas does not have some dominant run game. Rico Dowdle's a fine running back. He had some good success in the opener. But this is, you know, if they're playing full out, and I don't know who's sitting for Dallas at this point, but like other than like, you know, CeeDee Lamb is out, and we don't know if they're starting Trey Lance or just to give him a look, or staying with Cooper Rush. But I think they got to, you know, stopping the run is going to be massive. If they don't stop, if they can't stop the run, you know, in the playoffs, then, you know, this is probably going to be a quick turn, because all these teams in the playoffs have a running back and legit quarterback. It's not like most of the year where they've been facing a team with either a marginal quarterback. You know, they haven't had that other than like the Eagles. A little bit phrased this way: any team they've beaten has not really had that full complement of, you know, quarterback and running game going back, you know, since like September. So I think this is huge to say, okay, fine, whatever this game is, let's stop the run. Period. End of story. If they can do that, I think that would make me feel a lot better about the situation. Obviously, having Lattimore next week will both bolster that as well, because they can go even a little bit harder in terms of stopping the run, whoever they play. So I think that's a big one to me. And I guess the other one is, if Austin Ekeler is playing, it's sounding like he'll be activated, but we'll see. He's not. He hasn't been yet, but Dan Quinn was really hyped up his practice performance. If he's eligible to play and is active, you know, that's a huge deal. The run game on the ground has been off since he's been out, because you don't have that diverse option with him and Robinson. And they just have no pass catching out of the backfield for the most part, except for a couple of dump offs. So to get Ekeler back, if he's able to look anything like he was earlier in the year, that's a huge deal. And to tack on another weapon at this point would be pretty significant. So I think just seeing what he can do, if in fact he is out there, is definitely something to watch.
Do we know, as Ben Standing is with us, of course, the Athletics Commanders beat reporter, do we know if they activate Ekeler, what that would mean for the rest of the roster? Like, we knew when John Allen came back, that was the end of Phil Mathis. What about with Ekeler? Because Rodriguez has been very good and deserving of keeping his spot, but four running backs is a lot. And I don't know, unless like the Tyler Owens ankle injury is good enough, or is bad enough, I should say, to put him on IR, there's not necessarily an obvious IR option, or I don't think another obvious option to cut at another position, but you tell me.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. An interesting exercise. I went through it with Kevin Sheehan earlier today. I think Rodriguez has got to be good. I mean, when he's been needed to play, he's been effective as that, you know, bully type of running back, you know. And, you know, Robinson has been, his final numbers the other day were okay against Atlanta, but, you know, not quite been right the last few weeks. So I think you got to keep Rodriguez up one way or the other. But yeah, then the question is who would be gone. You know, I guess if De'Ami Brown is able to play, then that would mean they've got six receivers. KJ Osborne, you know, since they claimed him, he was inactive twice. He played a little bit last week because they kind of didn't have any other players who were, you know, to make inactive. Bryson Tremaine also played last week, and he's on the practice squad. So I kind of wonder if maybe that's a space where because they've been using five receivers for a chunk of the year, and I don't know where he's going to fit. So that to me is like the, I'm not saying he needs to go, but I do wonder if that's maybe a spot to go. And look, obviously they're going to do what they have to do for the playoffs, but you also have to think bigger picture. And, you know, there's guys who are going to be free agents and all that. But, you know, you want to keep Chris Rodriguez around if you think you want him around for next year. I don't know that, say, a KJ Osborne's in their plans for next year, right? Or at least it's not an obvious thing. So, you know, that seems to be a spot. They may be down two offensive linemen this week, so you can't put an offensive lineman down. We already know Lattimore is out, so you can't do anything there. They're already down. And you mentioned Owens, he's out. They're down a linebacker, Jordan McGee. There's not some of the places to go. So Osborne seems like an option, but like you said, maybe there's somebody who's a little more injured than we think.
Yeah, so basically you're looking at Owens going to IR. McGee, I don't think, is an IR situation, but I guess you could. And Osborne's the guy that I was wondering about. So last thing, Ben, you know, he gets in here and everyone's got a big hullabaloo about him because he's the guy they seemingly signed to replace Noah Brown when he goes out. Obviously, it hasn't really gone anywhere, and he's a guy that has had production in his career in Minnesota. What's, as you talk to people and be like, hey, what's going on with KJ Osborne? Why did it take him so long to get in, and why does he seem to still be at the bottom of the receiver depth chart?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what's been happening. You know, he's a guy who was had like two or three really productive years with the Vikings. You know, some solid numbers across the board. Goes to New England. I think he had like seven catches in seven games. Was just going absolutely nowhere for a team, of course, that is very much rebuilding. So it just doesn't feel like maybe he's just quite gotten the rhythm back that he had a couple years ago with the Vikings. But, you know, for this team's perspective, like we all know they're going to have to upgrade the receiver room next offseason. But between McLaurin, Olamide Zaccheaus, who's been, you know, a production monster the last couple of weeks, Jamison Crowder has obviously been very helpful. De'Ami Brown, you know, they like him as like a speed threat and blocker out there. And then, you know, Luke McCaffrey's got the versatility to play across the formation. I'm not saying they're good, like, wow, what a group. I'm saying they're good with that group. And that's where it's like, I guess it's Osborne just simply hasn't shown enough for them to get in there. You know, and again, I think the fact that Bryson Tremaine was up last week to me is interesting because he can help on special teams to boot. And he probably can do some more than Osborne would be my guess. So if they actually did need a sixth receiver, he would make a lot of sense, not to mention he does offer that size and just throw it to him. But yeah, I don't know that he's done anything wrong, but it just hasn't been enough, whatever he's been showing to them, to say we got to put him in over these other guys that we've had all year who've been, you know, helpful whenever we've called their name.
For sure. And I think, you know, watching him I went back and watched, in hindsight, way too much tape of him because he's barely played, but I was just like, this dude's physical. He's not very dynamic. He doesn't stretch the field at all. And so I guess he'll do a lot of the blocking, dirty work that Noah Brown did really well. And then when you watch a guy like Tremaine do just as good of a job of it, it's like, well, what's the point? So I guess that it kind of does make sense. But we'll find out tomorrow. I'm sure as soon as the news happens, Ben will be posting it on all his social media platforms. And he'll, of course, be writing about everything Commanders for The Athletic. Just go to theathletic.com or download their app to read his work. Ben, always appreciate it, sir. Safe travel. Hope there's no delays and nothing, no shenanigans with the weather for you. And we'll talk to you as we head towards the playoffs.
Look forward to it, man. See you. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Ben Standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, we will try our very best to give you the absolute latest information on all of the injuries and also guys who are sitting. It is fantasy championship weekend for a lot of you. So we'll help you set your lineups as we go around the NFL. Next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Thanks again to Ben Standing for joining us, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic. If you're like, oh, I love Standing, I missed it. Good news. Rewind feature works for you on the Odyssey app. By the way, while you're there, you can also leave us a voicemail, new feature there in the Odyssey app. Also, it's going to go in the podcast feed by the end of the hour. So just search The Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcast. Anthony, what are you looking for? Are you looking for our records? Are you looking for – what are you doing as we're about to go around the NFL?
Yeah, to get our records.
Oh, okay. Update us on the records. How'd I do last week? I can't believe I went 11-5 against the spread on a Monday and then 0-3 in competition Wednesday on Tuesday. What a buffoon. How'd I do by the time we picked the games on Friday?
You went 14-2, and I went 13-3.
Okay. That does make me feel a little bit better, I guess.
Doesn't make me feel better at all.
I guess. 14-2, straight up, 11-5 versus the spread. I might know a thing or two. Anthony, here's the thing about this week, though. Not going to help me at all. This week should not even count. This week is a reminder why fantasy championships should be in Week 17. Because this week is a crapshoot in the NFL. That said, we're going to do our best over the next half hour as we go around the league to try to give you the biggest, like normally we kind of skip over some games. We'll even 1, 2, 3. But knowing that some of you, including Anthony Haney, are in fantasy championships this weekend, Anthony's actually in our league championship, which next year will end in week 17. I'm going to remember to do that next year. I almost did a Hey Siri, remind me in August to make it week 17, but that I will just deal with that then. That's actually, if you're listening right now, that's a way you can get in the league next year. If you call us next year, so the way our fantasy league works for the show is we do a big old hour-long, hey, call, tell us why you should be in the league. And if you call up next August and go, I should be in the league because I remembered that you said you needed reminding that week 17 is when the championship should be this year, then if you're the first person to do that, I'll put you in the league.
Automatically.
So, Anthony, let's clip that so we have it for August.
Yep.
And set some kind of reminder to make sure that we remember in August and then party on. But because many of you do have Week 18 fantasy implications and or maybe betting the games this weekend, we will give you lines, we will give you injury updates, and, of course, if there's anything else in terms of, like, for instance, the Rams we know are sitting everybody, we will give you that information. So with that, fire it up, Anthony. Let's go around the NFL Week 18 style. And we have two games on Saturday, starting with the Browns and Ravens. It's a 4:30 kickoff. The Browns are back down to 19.5 point dogs. This was as high as 20.5. It is now 19.5 for the Baltimore Ravens as favorites. In this game, from an injury standpoint, slash a who's playing, who's not, the Browns are expecting to start Bailey Zappe at quarterback. That should affect absolutely nobody's fantasy team, because if you were starting Dorian Thompson-Robinson, what in the ever-loving hell is wrong with you? But Bailey Zappe, I think that's probably part of the reason the line moved, just because DTR was so bad. Now we know it's Bailey Zappe over Jameis Winston and DTR. For the Browns in this game, Jordan Hicks is out. David Njoku, someone who actually might affect your fantasy team, is out with the knee injury. He's done. Pierre Strong, running back, is out. Denzel Ward, is this his last game in a Brown? If so, he's not suiting up. Corner is out with a shoulder. And Jerome Ford is out with an ankle. Jameis is questionable with a shoulder, and DTR is a full go with a calf on the backup quarterback front. Miles Garrett, Grant Delpit, also good to go. Jerry Jeudy, good to go as well after being listed on the injury report earlier in the week. On the Ravens side of it, Justice Hill is out with a concussion, and then one of their backup corners is out. Other than that, Charlie Kohler, tight end, is questionable, as is one of their backup guards who is just sick today. Nelson Agholor, good to go. Ronnie Staley, good to go after he was sick earlier in the week, as is Nnamdi Madubuike. So that is the ins and the outs of the Ravens-Browns game. Now that we've gotten that information for people, Anthony, 1, 2, 3.
The
Ravens.
Ravens.
Yeah. We're looking for Ravens. All right, a game that we'll actually talk about. The Bengals and Steelers. The Bengals are visiting Pittsburgh. They are 2.5-point favorites in this game. Ja'Marr Chase chasing the Triple Crown. Joe Burrow could become the second player in NFL history to have at least 3 passing touchdowns in 9 or more consecutive games, joining none other than Tom Brady. On the injury front, a couple of big ones for the Bengals. Sam Hubbard is out with the knee injury that he suffered when he scored that touchdown a couple of weeks ago. The defensive end hurt playing offense. But good news for the Bengals. Even though he's a DNP all week long, Chase Brown, their starting running back, is listed as questionable in the game. So that's better than being ruled out, but he was a DNP all week long. Amarius Mims is a questionable at tackle. Drew Sample, their tight end, questionable as well. T. Higgins, ankle, knee, questionable. Charlie Jones, one of their backup wide receivers, questionable. Cam Taylor-Britt, questionable. Orlando Brown is good to go. Burrow, good to go. And everybody else, including Trey Hendrickson, good to go for the Bengals as well. For the Steelers, on their side of it, Roman Wilson, wide receiver, is out. Logan Lee, defensive end, is out. And our old pal Cole Holcomb is out with a knee injury. Dante Jackson is the only one who is questionable for the Steelers. Ben Skowronek is back. That's a big deal for Pittsburgh. Joey Porter Jr. is good to go as well. So that's the scene setter, if you will, Anthony. Where are we going in this game?
Do you have an early lean, Mr. Craig Hoffman?
I do. I think things are falling apart in Pittsburgh in a very un-Steelers-like way. There was a clip going around this week where, George Pickens was asked about being on the same page as Russell Wilson. And basically, he was not thrilled that Russell Wilson had said on one of the interceptions they were not on the same page. He just ended his media session. The enigmatic George Pickens is in enigma mode, and that scares me. It scares me both ways. It scares me picking against the Steelers, which I am, and it scares me if I were to be picking for the Steelers, because I just don't trust their offense at all. Russ was a tremendous boost to them in the middle of the season, even though their record was okay with Fields. But also, like, Watt is a little banged up. Porter's a little banged up. I just don't trust it where I trust the Bengals offense to go out and put up big numbers. And I think Pittsburgh's going to have to keep up. And so I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get in. We'll talk about some of the machinations as we go here, but I'm going to go with the Bengals to give themselves a chance going into Sunday. It's going to be a long Sunday. They're going to have to sit and watch, but I think they win on Saturday night.
Craig, I was going to go with the Bengals as well, but then I came across this stat. Mike Tomlin is 11-0 when his teams have more than 10 days off after a loss, not including the bye weeks. I'm going with the Steelers here.
That's a crazy stat.
I think this is a great opportunity for their offense to get back on track. Like, they got to get right heading into the playoffs. So I'm thinking, you know, we see a lot of Najee. We see, you know, some George. This is a chance for them to get back right. So I'm going to go with the Steelers and history.
You can always bet on Mike Tomlin and you'll be right most of the time. But, you know, hey, 10-1 would still be very impressive.
Hey, I still am rooting for – I want the Bengals to be in. So
I am too.
Yeah.
I am 100% as well. All right. To Sunday, let's knock out some of the 1 o'clock window here, starting with Carolina and Atlanta. Everybody's playing here in terms of nobody sitting starters, because obviously Carolina's already been eliminated and Atlanta has everything to play for. In fact, the only really significant guy on the injury report for Atlanta is Darnell Mooney. He is questionable with a shoulder injury. Everyone else, good to go. J.C. Horn out, as is Josie Jewell for the Carolina Panthers. They got some other guys, including their starting guard, Robert Hunt, who are listed as questionable. I'm going to take Atlanta here. It would be so Falcons for the Bucks to lose and the Falcons to lose as well and the Bucks to still win the division. I probably would take Carolina to cover the 7.5. And by the way, in this game, Bryce Young is looking to become the first quarterback for the Panthers since Cam Newton in 2018 to have two passing touchdowns and zero interceptions in three straight games. But I'm going to take Atlanta to get it done coming off their loss to Washington.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Falcons as well. I will be rooting for the Panthers, though.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina. Yeah, we learned that last week. Packers and Bears. Oh, this would be a 1-2-3 game probably, but we're trying to give you guys the full picture here. The Bears, of course, have not won a football game since the week before they came to Washington and lost on a Hail Mary. Everyone expected to play this week in terms of no one's sitting, obviously, because the Packers need a win and a Commanders loss to get the sixth seed and avoid going to Philadelphia. That'll be a rematch of week one in Brazil should that happen. On the Packers injury front, though, a couple of big names are out, including Jair Alexander, their star corner. Also, Andre Dillard, one of their tackles. Quay Walker, starting linebacker for them, is out. Christian Watson's the big question. He is questionable with a knee, and he did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. We do not have the official Friday injury report on Watson yet. So TBD whether he still could be ruled out for the weekend, but expected to be listed as questionable. Everyone is good to go on the Bears side of it, Anthony. I'm taking the Packers here. This division is very silly, but the one thing that seems to be pretty consistent is that the Bears lose.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers as well. Even though the last time they played, it was a one-point game. Caleb and the Bears made it interesting down the stretch, but the Packers got to bounce back after the loss last week. So I'm going with the Packers here and need momentum going into the playoffs.
For sure. All right. Quickly, the Jags and Colts, not a lot to talk about here. All due respect. Anthony Richardson is out for the Colts. DNP. The last couple of days of practice, Walker Little, is their tackle for Jags, is the one who is listed out on the Jacksonville side of it. Colts are favored by 4.5 at home. Do your boys get to 8 wins, Anthony?
Mr. Craig Hoffman, I will be in attendance, so I think they will.
I think that's a good reason. All right, next up, Buffalo and New England. Last game we'll do here before we take the break. The Bills are hilariously only favored by 3 points because Mitch Trubisky is going to play in this game for the Bills at quarterback. Drake May's final game of his rookie season. Mitch Trubisky playing for Josh Allen. So the season done for Allen. His MVP case rests. Lamar is going to play, obviously, for Baltimore because they have a division title to play for. Christian Gonzalez is out for New England in this game, as is Jalen Polk. Terrell Bernard, the only injury player listed, is out for the Buffalo Bills. But again, we know that there's a bunch of guys that might wind up not playing, like Matt Milano's, you know, battling a couple things. Dalton Kincaid's battling a couple things. Jordan Phillips, are starting defensive tackle. Amari Cooper, like all these guys have been on the injury report this week, even if they're full participants. I'm going to say the Bills still win, but I don't feel good about it because I think we like Drake May might run around and do some things, and the Bills' care level is not going to be high in this game.
I'm going with Drake May and the Patriots to pull off the upset. I don't know. I've liked what I've seen out of Drake May, to be honest. And I think
New England's in a great spot, quarterback wise.
Yeah. So. I'm going with Drake.
Okay. I have a little tinge of regret for not doing the same thing. But I'm going to let you have it. Drake May and the Patriots for Anthony. All right. When we get back, we'll pick it up with Giants and Eagles. Definitely, if you haven't heard, there's been a decision made on Saquon Barkley, whether or not he is playing. So we get to that coming up next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, going around the NFL, keeping things rolling with all the injury updates, latest stardom situm news as we head towards Week 18. Some playoffs on the line, also a lot of fantasy championships on the line. And some of you can't help yourself, so you're going to gamble, even though these games are giant crapshoots. The Eagles are favored by 2.5 over the Giants, which is, of course, the closest the Giants have been to anyone in a long time, but that's because no one's playing for the Eagles. You're going to get Tanner McKee. You're going to get Johnny Wilson. You're going to get Jahan Dotson. You're going to get Kenneth Gainwell. You're going to get Aeneas Smith, number 82, apparently, for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts has been ruled out of this game with a concussion, but like listed officially as doubtful, coach's decision, Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, Zach Bond, Jalen Carter, Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, Darius Slay, and N'Kobe Dean. So all those guys not going to play for the Eagles. Kenny Pickett, by the way, questionable with the ribs. So he'll probably play as the backup with Tanner McKee as the starter. You'll still have Cam Johnson. Cam Jurgens. You'll still have Mekhi Becton. Like, that's the thing. There's only 53 dudes. So some guys are going to have to play. But the Eagles are in a big, hey, sorry, some guys got to play. Meanwhile, the Giants will be without Micah McFadden. They'll also be without their starting center, John Michael Schmitz. Anthony, who are you taking in this terrible football game?
I'm taking the Eagles.
So am I.
You sure you don't want to go the other way, man?
Yeah, well,
just do it, Craig. Just do it. Help me.
Actually, I think I do. The Giants, here's the thing. The Giants were dumb enough to win last week. Could they possibly be dumb enough to win 2 weeks in a row and just absolutely blitz their draft status? The Giants were a lock for the number one pick. Now they're a Drew Lock away from being like the seventh best team or having the seventh pick. Sure, give me the Giants. Why not? You're going to be so mad when the Giants win.
Thing is, though, Craig, I have to make up games, so it doesn't really even matter to me. These games suck.
No, it does. It does matter. The results matter. That's kind of the whole point.
Well, they do matter, yes.
Saints at Bucks, but I understand what you're saying. You have to be in a different place. The Saints are 14-point dogs just because they're bad at football. The injury report here, Jamel Dean and Antoine Winfield are out for Tampa. Derek Carr, Kendre Miller out. Alvin Kamara doubtful for New Orleans. Who you got in this one? If Tampa wins, they win the NFC South. 1, 2, 3.
Bucks.
Tampa. Houston at Tennessee, nothing on the line here but pride and the old naming rights to the team bit. Oiler showdown. Tyler Boyd out. Amani Hooker out. Tajay Spears amongst those out. Nick Folk, their kicker, is out for Tennessee. For Houston, Danico Autry is the big one. Al Jeff Okuda out as well. Shaq Mason, one of their starting guards. Tennessee is actually 1.5-point favorites in this game. I guess we are not expecting to see C.J. Stroud. Where are the player projections here? Do they have them? Stroud's expected to play?
Huh?
They're saying only 119 passing yards projected. I wonder if they've said he's going to play like a half or something.
That's weird, man. They should be trying to stay healthy. They're
also, is
up.
Levis playing again for Tennessee? Or have they just not updated this?
Maybe they haven't
on NFL
updated
Pro.
It.
Anyway, who you got?
I'm going opposite of you, Craig.
Nope, I'm making you pick first.
Well, who's the home team?
Tennessee.
I'll be taking the Titans.
Quarterback this week. Titans named starting quarterback for week 18. And it will be Will Levis.
Mayo man. I'm definitely going with the Mayo man.
You're going with the Mayo man. Let's go real quick. Sorry, this is terrible radio. Texans starting quarterback this week. They are going to play C.J. Stroud, apparently. So there's that. I'll take Houston, but it doesn't sound like Stroud's going to play the entire game. All right, afternoon window. San Francisco at Arizona. This game has no meaning. It has no purpose. Cardinals are 4.5-point favorites. Can they finally get Trey McBride in the touchdown? Actually, he went in last week, so that streak is over. Josh Dobbs is going to start at quarterback for the 49ers. Kyler is starting for the
Cardinals.
The Cardinals. Purdy officially ruled out.
I'm going with the
Debo
Cardinals.
Debo also out. Yeah, give me the Cardinals. All right. Kansas City. They are at Denver where they are 10.5-point dogs because Carson Wentz is starting and the Broncos have a ton to play for. It'll be Wentz. You got a Carson and Carson backfield. Carson Wentz and Carson Steele. Xavier Worthy is going to play for Kansas City, but Isaiah Pacheco, DeJuan Taylor, and Mecole Hardman are out. Denver is really healthy. They just have one of their tackles who has been ruled out due to an illness, but I believe he's one of their backups. So, who you got in this one?
Is D-Hop playing?
He's not listed as out. I'm going to put it that way.
Yeah, I think he's chasing an incentive. Dang, this is tough. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
I'm going to go with the Broncos too, but there's still maybe this is total wishful thinking that they're going to lose and that opens the door for Cincinnati to get in the playoffs.
Man, well, they need Miami to lose too, right?
We'll get there. Seattle and LA. Jimmy Garoppolo is starting for the Rams. They are sitting everybody. Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks are favored by 7. If you're good and you're the Rams, you're not playing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
I am as well. The Chargers and Raiders, again, nothing really on the line here, although Herbert is expected to play, try to just stay fresh, stay sharp for the playoffs. Give me the Chargers in this one. Just no Gus Edwards, no Josh Palmer. And no Amir Abdullah for Vegas.
Yeah, I'm going L.A. too.
All right. Miami and the Jets. Miami is favored by 0.5. Tua is not expected to play. He's listed as doubtful. Sauce Gardner out for the Jets. By the way, the Jets are projected to still start Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, despite what happened last week. He's looking for his 500th career touchdown pass. What's the dumbest possible outcome? The Jets win?
Don't do it again, Craig. Don't do it again.
This one, if they win, it hurts them. Draft position, it hurts them. So I'm picking the Jets because it's bad for the Jets.
Ah, okay. I see what you got going on over there. Well, give me the Dolphins then, Craig.
Although, God, Tyler Huntley's not as bad as...
No, he stinks, Craig. Don't be fooled.
You just want me to go the other way.
Nope.
Anthony, I'm doing it. I'm going to stick with the Jets. I already said it out loud.
I'm proud of you, Craig. I'm proud of you.
The game that we should have spent way more time on, Vikings, Lions. Everyone's playing that's available in this one because this game is for the number one seed in the NFC. Detroit, 2.5-point favorites at home.
I'm going with the Vikings. I told you this on Competition Wednesday, or I guess yesterday, Thursday. Yeah. I don't know. I like where they are offensively.
Sam Darnold offensively
seems to be clicking. The defense, they got healthier, bringing back, getting Stephon Gilmore back into the lineup. I love the Lions, though. I still think it's possibly going to be a shootout, but I trust the Vikings a little bit more late in the game to come up and get a stop.
There's something about this Lions team. They just feel blessed. I'm going with it. I'm going with them riding the home crowd Sunday night, big fourth down. Dan Campbell's going to go for it. Everyone's going to go bananas. I'm going to go with the Lions. Anthony, how many games are we separate on, and how many games are you behind in the standings?
So I'm behind you 5 games. We have 1, 2, 3. I think we're at 3.
Oh. I felt like it was more than that we picked differently on.
It might be. It's too hard for me to, do that math real fast.
You just literally have to count.
Yeah, but I have them typed in a Google Doc, they're on 2 different sheets.
Oh. Okay, that's not how I would do that, but it's a different story. Okay, well, tune in Monday to see who won our season-long picks. That's it. That's all for going around the NFL in Week 18. Hopefully, we got you all the injury and sitting players information you need to set your fantasy lineups if you have a fantasy championship this weekend. We get back, we'll go through our pick 6. Commanders, they have something to play for, and we still got to pick that game, too. Commanders and Cowboys, who are the 6 most important players that'll decide that game? Dave Johnson talking about Alex Sarr winning Rookie of the Month in the Wizards game tonight. And then we will pick the Cowboys Commanders game to wrap up the show here on the Team 980.